As you can see, I'm not your originally scheduled speaker, but since he had surgery this week, oh, wait a minute, he didn't have surgery this week. Okay, I'm here. David and I will talk about this later, I'm sure. I am blessed to be here this morning. I have significant roots in this congregation. First 20 years of my life were here. We're over on 63rd when we started over there. My parents brought me there. I was grateful and thankful for that. So I have many fond memories. I can still see us sitting on this second row filled with the then young people who were blessed in many ways. Let's hope I can find all my papers this morning. There we go. I was afraid the crowd might be a little thin, so I brought some of my own friends to fill in. Thank you for being here, Bob. We appreciate it. Bob and I have been friends for many years as well. I want to talk to you about an event that happened, obviously, many, many years ago in the days of Isaiah. And he wrote about this. The kingdom of Judah was facing some very perilous times. Assyria was advancing from the north. And they were conquering kingdom after kingdom. They were under siege. The northern kingdom of Israel was already taken into captivity. As Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, Isaiah wrote that the people were concerned about what they would do. And they advocated giving themselves up to the Assyrians. Be done with it. Just give in, we'll be done. But others, well, they looked to the south and looked down at Egypt and they said, let's make an alliance with them. Then we can stand against these Assyrians. Well, Isaiah was sent by God to warn the people to do neither. The key to their salvation was to trust in the Lord, not men. So in when he wrote in Isaiah the 33rd chapter, he said he gave them this advice or gave them these things to do. He said, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. That statement stood out to me. The stability of your times. There was a great deal of trouble then, and they needed to rely upon God and His favor towards them. And they needed to be reminded that that favor was available to them, and they should experience it as well. Well, I thought about that in the context of today. Not here to be an alarmist, not here to say, prophesy that things are going to go bad. But if we evaluate the situation, we can show some concern, can't we? We have faced trials on this earth. I think of Tom and Sherry, and I know that the devastating event that took place in their life, but they obviously are here remaining strong. But the sickness that we've seen here, the absence of people that I have known all my life are gone. The changes and effects and the hardships that brought about to us, the sorrow that it brought to us. And then there's that natural disaster thing. Example of that, of course, is this week in Branson. lives were just snuffed out just like that. It seems hard to bear those types of things. The threat of annihilation, sometimes we forget about that. But in a very small moment of time, nations could go to war, and the vast amount of population in the United States could be eliminated because of that. We can worry about some of those things, but we have to move on from that. I did some looking at statistics. Now, statistics can be interpreted in many different ways, but I'm just going to kind of place them in context of what we're doing here. Back in 1960, there was 179 million people in the United States. It was a lot more comfortable for me back then because there wasn't as many people. But the crime rate in 1960, the statistics or the evidence shows that there were about 3.3 million crimes reported. 3.3 million crimes, that seems like a lot. But based on 179 million people, it was just a small percentage of that. Those crimes, of course, were a broad base of violent crime, murders and rape and grand theft and all of the things you think of that were evil and wrong. Through the years, we saw an increase in that crime significantly. And we also saw an increase in the population. And by 2016, we had nearly doubled our population to over 323 million people. If I were to ask you today, what would you think the crime rate would be in comparison to what it was? Would you all agree that it's horrible? It's out of control. And yet, statistically speaking, it's gone down. Percentage of crimes committed against people is significantly lower. It peaked out into the 80s and 90s when there was upwards of 13 million crimes reported in that year. Now, what is the significance of that? And how are we affected by that? Well, I wondered and put in my own mind as I thought about how my life has been affected by the things that have happened in the world, and our Christian life, as it exemplified even here, we were affected by some of those crimes, but maybe not to the extent that the world outside of Christ was. And you have to wonder why that was. Well, it's pretty easy an explanation. We love God. We fear God. We serve God, and we don't have a desire to do wrong. We want to live peaceably among our brethren. We want to live peaceably among the world. We want to exist without that trial. But we know tragedy has struck. I recall when a mother and father of one of our members here were killed in their home. It was devastating. Children have died. I remember those. I remember when a child who was younger than I, when I was growing up, became a disease and died. But I remember the parents of that child still remaining true and faithful to the Word. So, is there much anxiety and fear? Yes, Christians can be affected by that. They can be weakened. They can turn and run. They can forget what they had. We see some that even exist without evidence of joy in their lives. They take those tragedies and wear them to where it's painful for them. But there are others whose joy continues. They experience the same things, They understand the same things. They go through financial crisis. They go through disease. They go through death of loved ones. They go through all of the uncertainties of life, and they tend to remain stable to that. This morning I want to look at what we need to do. I kind of like to refer to it as baseline. When you realize your need for Christ and His salvation that He perpetuated for us, you need to encompass that in your life. And I use that term, a baseline, to establish a reference that you want to build upon. I want us to have the stability of the times. I want us to understand what it takes to grow into that value, to where when these things do happen, that it has been exemplified in the lives of many here, remain stable to Christ and our work for Him. So what is the real value? Well, we look at Job and understand that the challenge that he had, he said, man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues, bring me judgment to you. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There is not one. Since his days are determined and the number of months is with you, and you have appointed the limits, he cannot pass. Look away from him, leave him alone, that he may enjoy, like a hired hand, his day. Well, that was kind of the advice that Job got. Just live your life. It's pretty much over. What we really want to find is what Isaiah was trying to instill upon these people, to draw from God's involvement in their lives and draw from the wisdom, the understanding, and the salvation of the Lord. That's what makes the difference right there. If we look over at Proverbs, the second chapter, in the beginning of the sixth verse, the Lord, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you out of the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress of her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down into death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall inhabit the land, and those with integrity shall remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Draw from the wisdom of God. We need to do that. I look at the example of what we were talking about earlier and the difference, the times we had before. I was thinking about how these things were revealed to us. Back when I was a youth, the news was broadcast at, I think it was 6 o'clock. They would start with the 6 o'clock news, and they would talk about the events of the day for 15 minutes. And then they'd turn over to the world news, and we heard the world news for another 15 minutes, and then it was over. We heard about all of the events that would have been important to us by someone's standard. Of course, today, it's like we can't get enough. We're constantly bombarded with all of the events that is in all of the sources of media that we have. We know almost instantaneously of things that go wrong and are bad. And we hear so much about it because they have determined that that's what they want us to hear. That's what draws their advertising in. This is my opinion. My editorial. And those, when we look at the state of what we have now, the crimes that we have committed have achieved a different level from my perspective. The morality that we see in the world today is practically non-existent. It's become a huge amount of immorality that causes us grief in the world, and we tend to feed on that. We need to choose our sources for information more carefully. We need to be looking and trying to draw from the wisdom that Solomon was trying to get us to understand. He reveals some other things too. He said in the third chapter, he said, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck, and then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." These were obviously words from a very wise man. Solomon revealed those things to us and how he learned to rely upon the God that he served. God's willing to provide us with wisdom. We know James wrote, if any man desire wisdom, let him ask of God. That's been an important part of my life. The wisdom has to come from somewhere, and I can only ask God every day, grant me wisdom, help me with my understanding. It's a constant prayer for me. And I seek that from Him. Wisdom, knowledge, and salvation found only in the Lord provides the stability we need for our times. Wisdom and knowledge providing stability in facing life, salvation providing stability in to face death, and together they provide great wealth and a rich store. What is the key to this treasure of wisdom, knowledge, and salvation, which is the stability of your time, of our time? The fear of the Lord is key to this treasure. As noted elsewhere, the fear of the Lord is essential to have wisdom and knowledge. Once again, we turn over to Proverbs I don't have that in front of me. Proverbs indicated that it is the beginning of knowledge, it is the beginning of wisdom, and to receive that which is accepted by God, we need to look at the message of salvation that was given. I'm going to turn over to Acts, the 10th chapter, and look at one of the passages there that talks about this. In 10:34, it talks about, it said that, "Then Peter opened his mouth, of a truth, I presume that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." Fearing God and serving him is an important aspect of what we do. Proverbs 1:7 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In the ninth chapter, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is in sight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years added to your life. In Philippians, that Paul wrote to them, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. Solomon wrote so many things that give us wisdom, give us understanding. What we want to accomplish with this baseline that we've built upon, to adding this wisdom, this faith, this knowledge, and salvation, we can withstand the trials and tribulations that we're going to see and face in front of us. The difficulties that we have, that we will have, will be met with the knowledge that we have of our salvation. Paul wrote to Corinth and said, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened that we would be unclothed, but that... Let me start that again. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would further clothed, so what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. He also said, for we do not lose heart, for through our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not into the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. A powerful message to us to be reminded of. Our life here is but a vapor. It's more apparent to me in my 70 years on this earth to realize how short a time it has been. The time has just has just gone by in a fleeting way. And as I draw closer to the end of this time, it even goes faster. And I'm sure that many in this audience can attribute to that. Time is fleeting. What was the reason for us to be here at all? Remember that God looked out, decided to create this earth, to create mankind, who would be willing by their own volition to stand up and say, I want to serve you. I want to praise you. I want to be a part of what you've given us. You get to make that choice, don't you? You don't have to be here. You don't have to serve him. You do it because you have developed a love that is instilled in you to the point that you cannot live without it. With that mindset, and with the knowledge and the wisdom you gain, your salvation is assured. We're here for the purpose of praising God. And when this life is over and he takes us home, that will be one of the most single things that we will do. We will do what God created the earth for in the beginning and mankind, to willingly choose, because we want to, serve him, praise him, and give him the glory. What a powerful message that is. Proper fear of the Lord would prompt them to turn to God. You need to develop that respect, understand what God is capable of doing, and I'm sure that we do. Serve Him so that when we are faced with trials, and we will, the trials that we may face in the future may be a time when they'll take away the opportunities that we have right now in serving Him. Oh, you say, well, you know, who's going to tell? You know, a guy comes along and he said, I don't want to do the things you ask me to do. They go against my beliefs. Why? That won't happen in America. It already has. Well, they're not going to stop me from praying or giving my beliefs. Well, that's silly. We're in America. That would always be available. It already has. What the future may bring for us, I don't know. But the trials that may face my children, my grandchildren, your children and grandchildren, may place you in a position that would be very tenuous. And what choice will you make? Build on your baseline. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and salvation. If you think it won't happen, history has proven otherwise. We've been to war more than once to try and overcome that thought. It can happen again. I want those of us who serve Christ, who serve God in this way, to have a stability that we will be able to withstand and understand this is temporary. This is nothing to the glory that we'll share at the coming of Christ. I hope you understand the purpose that I intend for this to be, not as a prophecy, so to speak, but an understanding of the times, that the world is going to be against us more and more. They walk from us. They fear. I think they fear us because we have something they don't have. They don't have that wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and salvation. You're outside of Jesus Christ this day. I want you to have that comfort in your life. I want you to say, this is going to be my baseline. I'm going to build on that so that if these things do come to pass, my strength and stability will be there, and I can recognize the need for the stability of the time. We offer you that invitation as we stand and sing.